This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
One of China's biggest phone makers wants to get into cars. Live from the BBC World Service, this is the Marketplace Morning Report. Will Bain in for Leanna Byrne today. Great, as always, to have your company first thing in the morning. Yes, this is Xiaomi we're talking about, best known for its smartphones. So why cars? A question the BBC's Monica Miller has been taking a look at.
Xiaomi has started taking orders for its first EV called the Speed Ultra 7. It'll run about $70,000 and is being compared to Porsche's Taycan and Panorama sports car models. The move will see the technology giant take on rivals like Tesla and BYD. China's EV sector has grown rapidly in recent years due to purchasing subsidies. Dozens of domestic automakers are now facing a stiff price war to get ahead of the crowded market. In Singapore, I'm the BBC's Monica Miller for Marketplace.
Well, shares in Xiaomi up more than 1% right now in Hong Kong as we check the numbers. And the wider Hang Seng Index in Hong Kong also up today, just shy of 1% right now. Elsewhere, shares in one of the world's biggest insurance marketplaces, that's Lloyd's of London, are up more than 1% on pre-tax profits of more than $10 billion. But those results came with an interesting warning that Lloyd's members could be exposed to the tune of more than $3 billion in claims following the collapse of the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore. Well, let's return to China, and Beijing has announced it'll lift tariffs it had previously placed on Australian wine imports. The BBC's China correspondent, Laura Bicker, reports from Beijing.
China imposed tariffs of up to 200% on Australian wine in 2020, after the then Australian Prime Minister called for an objective, independent assessment of how the COVID-19 pandemic began. It cost suppliers an estimated $1.2 billion Australian and left them with the equivalent of 859 Olympic swimming pools of wine in storage. In November, the new Prime Minister, Anthony Albanese, became the first Australian Premier to visit Beijing since 2016. He said then that it was in the interests of both countries to stabilise the relationship.
The BBC's China correspondent, Laura Bicker, there. Now, in response to Russia's war in Ukraine, the European Union opened its market to Ukrainian farmers, but that has provoked a backlash. Polish farmers, for example, have been protesting for months about what they see as unfair competition. The BBC's Adam Easton in Warsaw told us a bit more.
The Polish and Ukrainian governments are holding intergovernmental talks in Warsaw. This is principally to try and resolve a dispute over Ukrainian agricultural imports to Poland. Polish farmers have been protesting for several months now, including blockading several border crossings with Ukraine. They are protesting about competition, essentially, from cheaper Ukrainian foodstuffs, but also rising costs.
In the backdrop to the latest set of talks is that from the EU side, more tariff-free access to the European market was allowed for a whole range of Ukrainian products.
That's right. But at the same time, that agreement by the EU ambassadors, a preliminary agreement, of course, that is to extend for another year Ukraine's tariff-free access. There's still time for more proposals and pushbacks from Poland, and France as well have got involved in this. They want increased quotas on Ukrainian food imports. So it's something that the European Parliament still has to sign off, and they're trying to get that done before the current deal expires in June.
Increasingly becoming our grain correspondent, but very much the BBC's Poland correspondent, Adam Easton in Warsaw. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you, and have a great day.
Officials in the United States say the Baltimore Bridge collapse could pose a risk to global supply chains, and it's something already under strain, of course, due to those ongoing attacks on shipping through the Red Sea. It's pushing up consumer prices, including for foods typically eaten during the Muslim holy month of Ramadan. The BBC's Peter Mwangangi has been to Kenya's port city of Mombasa.
Awad Omar Salim stands behind the counter at his small shop in Mombasa. On the counter is his most prized product, dates.
There can be no Ramadan without dates. We're taught through our religion that when we break fast, we must eat dates.
The dates at Awad's shop arrive at the port of Mombasa from Saudi Arabia. It is a key shipping route through the Red Sea, which has seen serious disruption due to a rise in attacks on commercial vessels. Awad planned ahead to ensure his customers in Mombasa's Old Town Market would have their dates in time for Ramadan, but beating the delays came at a cost.
We've been charged more on freight costs. There are high dollar exchange rates. Also, we usually get free duty on imported dates, which only takes effect a week before Ramadan, but ours arrived early.
Mombasa's retailers are also feeling the heat of the price increase by wholesalers. Fuad Omar is a trader in the city.
This year, the sale of dates will be difficult because when we compare to last year, one box of dates would go for about $10. But now it's going for $17.
Customers across the whole of East Africa are feeling the pinch. Juma Tella is the CEO for Kenya Ships Agents Association.
2021, we had a blockage at the Suez Canal with also some, you know, disruption like this. Though that time it was not as bad as this one, because it was just a question of trying to remove the vessel that was blocking the Suez Canal. But you see, with this one, we really don't know how long these things will happen.
Until the security situation in the Red Sea stabilizes, global supply chains of energy and consumables could be stretched for some time. And as the cost of living crisis bites, many of those who customarily eat dates during Ramadan may find the sweet fruit just out of reach this year.
That's the BBC's Peter Mwangangi reporting from the Kenyan port city of Mombasa, bringing us just about to the end of the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. Thanks so much for listening.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.